Welcome everyone to Sri Radha Gopinath Temple for our Sunday festival. Every week we come together as a spiritual family to focus our heart's attention on the ultimate purpose of life, and that is to fix our mind on the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Krishna explains in Gita, Man mana bhavamad bhaktau madhyajindam namaskuru mam evaishashi shatyam te pratijanivyaushime. The ultimate of all of his instructions is to always think of Krishna, to become Krishna's devotee, to worship Krishna and offer homage to Krishna. Love of Krishna is dormant in everyone's heart, and the specific opportunity and purpose within this human form of life is to awaken that love for Krishna. The easiest way to remember Krishna is to hear his glories and to chant his holy names in the association of his devotees. Srila Prabhupada very particularly explained that the reason he opened centers all over the world was to give people the opportunity to associate with devotees. Mahat sevam dwaram uhurva muktes tamo dwaram yoshita sangi sangam. By associating with saintly people, all the doors to the liberated state which enters into the spiritual world are open wide. However, by associating with materialistic people, the doors to the lower modes of ignorance are opened wide. So, to come together to associate with devotees of the Lord under the lotus feet of Sri Sri Radha Gopinath is our purpose. Together, when we hear and chant the glories of the Lord, we create the actual environment of the spiritual world. Today we have several of His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada's very dear disciples and followers. It is really the greatest blessing of Krishna when He sends His dear devotees to give us their association. And if we accept that association with grateful hearts, then we become most fortunate. And what does it mean to be grateful? Essentially, it means to hear from them very attentively and have a very great enthusiasm to serve them. That is a practical demonstration of our gratitude. I'd like to introduce these three effulgent souls who are sitting on the dais today. First of all, we have His Holiness Narasimha Maharaj, who is a very dear and senior disciple of Srila Prabhupada. He came to this movement in about 1970 in England. He was a great pioneer of the Hare Krishna movement. He performed devotional service in North America and especially in India for many years. He was traveling and distributing Srila Prabhupada's books in libraries, universities, door to door, village to village throughout India. And after taking the sannyas order of life, he's literally risked his life with incredible degrees of fearlessness and enthusiasm in preaching in such places as communist China, opening centers, developing congregations, and also Southeast Asia. He's a Vaishnava who is very much well loved and known for his strictness in following the principles of bhakti, as well as his great humility, his gravity, his depth of realization. There's so much more to say, but let us very enthusiastically welcome Narasingha Maharaj to Sri Radha Gopinath. We also have His Grace Kripamaya Prabhu, who is one of the very senior disciples of Srila Prabhupada, who has been steadily and faithfully serving this mission in the United Kingdom. He's known for his wonderful kirtans, his very deep understanding of Krishna conscious philosophy, and his very personal and loving concern for the spiritual advancement of the Vaishnavas. He is heading up one of the most important projects in all of ISKCON, the congregational preaching in the United Kingdom. As you know, the British at one time controlled India, and India was something like London's congregation. Srila Prabhupada actually, he was very proud when a center was opened in London. Somebody once asked him that, why have you come to England? He said, the British, they were converting the Hindus for so many years, so I have come to England to return the favor. By making them blissful, happy devotees of Lord Krishna. And very much leading this project for Srila Prabhupada in England is Kripamaya Prabhu, a very dear friend of mine. Let us very loudly and enthusiastically welcome him to Sri Radha. And next we have Jai Murari Prabhu, one of the stalwart pillars of staunch devotion from New Vrindavan. He came in the early 70s, and he's a man whose steadiness, determination, humility, and devotion is very deeply loved by all the devotees of New Vrindavan and all people who know him. He was a very successful plumber, not just an ordinary plumber that fixes toilets. He was an engineer who could actually create the entire sanitary facilities for houses, for buildings, for projects, for cities. He had that training and capacity. He was a sanitational engineer. That's a better word to say it. Of course, it's a fancy word for a plumber. But he came to New Vrindavan with all his expertise, and today New Vrindavan is thousands of acres of land with temples, guest house, palaces, restaurants, homes, apartments. And if anything goes wrong anywhere with the sanitation, the plumbing, the water, the heating, there's only one person who knows what to do, and that is Jai Murari Prabhu. So whenever there's a crisis, which there usually is, everyone comes running to take shelter of the lotus feet of Jai Murari Prabhu. But more than that, he's just such a sincere, wonderful devotee who loves to hear about Krishna, loves to chant the names of Krishna, has a very kind, loving heart toward Vaishnavas and all living beings. What can we say? Jai Murari Prabhu is simply someone who has great love for Krishna. Let us welcome him to Sri Radha Gopinath. Also from New Vrindavan are Mikal Prabhu and Devananda Prabhu. They're both wonderful devotees who have accompanied Jai Murari Prabhu let us welcome them very enthusiastically. Srila Prabhupada was asked at times, how could we repay you for what you have given us? Srila Prabhupada never wanted anything for himself. Therefore, his reply was, what I have given you, give to others. Share with your family members, your friends, your society, with humanity, with all living entities. Where there's a will, there's a way. A sincere devotee of the Lord is not only very strict and attentive in purifying his or own heart and their sadhana, but is always looking for an opportunity to share that gift with someone else. And we learn the process through the great acharyas of our line of disciplic succession. By hearing about them, we have a model role which we cannot imitate, but we can follow in their footsteps by adopting their spirit of Krishna consciousness. Yesterday we celebrated a very holy day. It was Gopastami, the first day when Lord Sri Krishna was given charge of the cows in Vrindavan. Sri Nanda Maharaj, seeing that Krishna came out of his Komara age into his Poganda Lila, where he attained 5 years old, was given charge of the cows. And it is one of the grandest, most wonderful festivals in all of Brajbhumi. In Nandagaon, they go to the places where Krishna did his cowherd Lila with Balaram and the Gopas. And in Vrindavan, they herd the cows through all the streets and marketplaces, and every shopkeeper comes out to worship Krishna's cows. It was also the disappearance day of three of the very great preachers of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's Leela. One was Dhananjay Pandit, who happened to be one of the very intimate associates of Lord Nityananda Prabhu, who had the spirit of Nityananda Prabhu, to give Krishna consciousness to everyone and anyone without discrimination. It was also the disappearance day of Gadadhar Das. It is said in Chaitanya Charitamrita that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is Krishna with the effulgence, complexion, and spirit of Srimati Radharani. And Gadadhar Das happens to be that effulgence of Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. The duty. He is an expansion of Srimati Radharani in the form of her effulgence, and that effulgence is spreading the light of her love in all directions without discrimination. There is a beautiful story about his preaching spirit. He lived in a village, and sometimes he would be so absorbed in the mood of a gopi that he would just lose control of his external identity and just walk down the streets with a pot of Ganges water on his head asking, does anyone want to buy yogurt? And he would just sing out the beautiful songs of the gopis' love for Krishna. In that village, there was a ferocious, evil-minded governor. He was actually called the Qazi. And he was of a very fanatical branch of Islam. And he forbid any public actions of the Hindus. If anyone worshipped any god but his own, he would kill them. He would imprison them, he would plunder their possessions. He was so cruel, so intolerant. In fact, he was such a bloodthirsty person that the civilized people of that village, if they even saw him, they considered themselves so contaminated that they would jump in the Ganges. And if a breeze happened to touch him and then touch them, they considered that they had lost their caste. No one would come near him. No one would see him. They all feared him so terribly. But Gadadhar Das was so imbued with this spirit of giving Krishna to others, giving love of God to others. Please understand that Krishna consciousness is not a sectarian idea. It is the ultimate fulfillment of all religions, to love God. And here is the most intimate personal aspect of the absolute truth, Radha and Krishna. Devotees want to share that with everyone. So at night, when everyone was sleeping, Gadadhar Das just was in an ecstatic mood to preach. He was chanting very loudly. He ran right into the house of the Qazi. And he was screaming out as loud as he could, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. The guards, the ministers, the servants of the Qazi, they were so stunned by this that they couldn't say anything. They just sat there as Gadadhar was just dancing in ecstasy right in the Qazi's living room, loudly chanting the holy names. Then he cried out in a very, very enthusiastic, loud voice. He said, Where is that fellow Qazi? Where is the rascal Qazi? I have come to order you at this very moment to chant the holy names Hari Hari. And if you do not, I will cut off your head. His words woke up the Qazi. Qazi became as angry as fire. He came running out to punish and kill whoever was speaking such words of blasphemy. But when he saw Gadadhar singing and dancing, he was just an ocean of compassion and humility. The Qazi's heart melted. He said, Gadadhar, why have you come here in the middle of the night? Gadadhar Das replied, I have come with a message for you that Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Lord Nityananda Prabhu are the Supreme Personality of Godhead. They have descended from the spiritual world onto this earth to give what no other incarnation ever gave, pure love of God to everyone. They have come to establish the Harinam Sankirtan movement, and now the whole world is chanting the holy names Hari Hari.
Hari Hari.
The only one left who refuses to chant is you. I have come to order you, chant the names of Hari,
Hari.
And you will be free from all your sins. The Qazi looked at him. He was so astonished. He forgot he was the Qazi. He said, Gadadhar Das, it's late at night. Just go home. Go to sleep. Tomorrow I'll chant the name of Hari. When he said that, tomorrow I will chant the name of Hari, Gadadhar became ecstatic. He started leaping in the air with his arms raised. He said, Why tomorrow? Today you chanted the name Hari Hari!
Hari Hari!
Therefore now you are free from all your sins. You have received the mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Gadadhar was so happy. He started dancing and dancing and dancing right in front of the Qazi, loudly chanting the holy names. For Gadadhar Das, there was no fear. Fire, serpents, demons, He was just eager to present this wonderful message of Krishna consciousness. And therefore, he is worshipped by all great Gaudiya Vaishnavas as the very effulgence spreading the rays of the love of Srimati Radharani. Whoever he would cast his glance upon, their hearts would melt. And he only had one business in life, chanting the holy names and giving the gift of the holy names to others. Srila Prabhupada would sometimes say, it is in one purport in his books as well, that the real purpose of the Krishna consciousness movement is not simply to defeat people through argument, reason, and logic. The real purpose of this Krishna consciousness movement is to induce people to chant the holy names of Krishna. Because it is the Yuga Dharma. It is the means by which anyone, everyone could experience love of God. Srila Prabhupada had that faith in the names of Krishna. And on the basis of that faith, he was able to alone, with no facility whatsoever, open hundreds of centers, distribute millions of books, and touch the hearts of millions and millions of people, not only in his own life, but in generations to come. Another such great personality was Srinivasacharya, whose disappearance day was also yesterday. He was the first person that Lord Chaitanya personally empowered to distribute the books of the six Goswamis. The birth of Srinivasacharya is very interesting. There was a very good devotee of Lord Chaitanya of the name Gangadhar Bhattacharya. He was so much eager to hear and chant the glories of Lord Chaitanya because he knew he was Krishna himself. Well, one day he wanted to visit Lord Chaitanya. On the way, he stopped in Katwa. And in Katwa, he heard the news that Lord Chaitanya is here. In fact, he's come here to take sannyas on this very day from Keshav Bharati. He went to the bank of the Ganges near Keshav Bharati's ashram. And there he saw that very fortunate barber, somehow or other, trying to cut the hair of Lord Chaitanya's head. He was refusing to do it. Your hair is the most beautiful manifestation of spiritual energy in the entire creation. How can I cut it? The Lord said, cut it! It is my order, cut it! In fact, he couldn't. But Lord Chaitanya, who's the controller of all controllers, started moving this barber's hands, even though he didn't want to do it. And the barber was saying, no, 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 but his hands were cutting it. And meanwhile, he was weeping and crying, and everyone around was weeping and crying, that the all-beautiful Gaur Sundar was renouncing his beautiful wife, his loving mother, the comforts of his home, to take the simple, austere life of a sannyasi for one reason only, to facilitate him to give Krishna consciousness to you and me. Those who have run away from his mercy, he wanted to chase after them in the renounced order of life. As each of his hair was falling to the ground, all the devotees were falling to the ground unconscious with that hair, weeping, weeping. There was puddles of water from the tears of the devotees' eyes, seeing the sacrifice of the Lord out of his love for us. Then Keshav Bharati gave him his name, Sri Krishna Chaitanya. And Gangadhar Bhattacharya, when he heard that name, Chaitanya, he started madly crying out, Chaitanya, 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 Chaitanya. That's all he could say. He went home to his village Chakandi. And all he could do is just say, Chaitanya, Chaitanya. And the devotees understood his influence of his love for Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So they named him Chaitanya Das. There was something that he and his wife never had in their whole lives, and that was a desire to have children. But all of a sudden, in both of their hearts, simultaneously, Chaitanya Das and his good wife Lakshmi Priya, they both had a deep, deep longing to have a child. What is this? Why? How? They would not do anything of any significance without getting the blessings of great souls. So they decided to go to Jagannath Puri, where Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was living in his sannyas lila, to pray to see if this was the Lord's desire. So they began to travel to Puri. It was actually his wife's idea that we should go to Puri and get the blessings of Lord Jagannath and Mahaprabhu before this holy act is to be done. On the way to Puri, Gangadhar Bhattacharya, who is now Chaitanya Das, had a spiritual vision. When he was sleeping at night, the beautiful form of Shamsundar, Lord Krishna, appeared before him. He had a threefold bending form. His body was dark like a monsoon cloud. He had lotus-like eyes. He was decorated with the Vajayanti garland, and he was playing his celebrated flute. Then that form of Krishna was transformed into the effulgent, beautiful golden form of Gauranga Mahaprabhu, who had long hair. He was the Lord of Navadvip. He was dancing and chanting in great ecstasy. Then that form changed, and he saw Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in the saffron robes of a sannyasi with a danda, a kamandalu, and a shaved head. And then that form changed, and he saw the deities of Lord Jagannath, Balaram, and Subhadra Devi, with Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu worshipping them. And he could understand by seeing that vision that the moving and non-moving absolute truth had both appeared in this world in the form of Lord Jagannath and Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. When he arrived in Puri, he went to the Singhadwaram, the Lion Gate, which was the main entrance to the temple. Just when he arrived there, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was there with his associates about to come in the temple. Gangadhar Bhattacharya offered his prostrated obeisances, his wife offered obeisances. The Lord was so very, very pleased to see them. He placed his foot on the head and said, "Now, please go and see the lotus-eyed Lord Jagannath. He will fulfill all of your desires." He went before Lord Jagannath and he prayed, "If it is your desire, Lord Jagannath, please let us have a son who will propagate your glories in this world." Later on, Lord Chaitanya told Gangadhar Bhattacharya that Lord Jagannath has heard your prayer and it will soon be fulfilled. And then Lord Chaitanya told his associates that very soon a child will be born by the mercy of Jagannath. His name will be Srinivas. I have empowered Rupa and Sanatan Goswamis to compile literatures expounding the glories of bhakti, the highest level of transcendental realization. And I will empower Srinivas to distribute these literatures of bhakti throughout the lands. He went home, and very soon after that, the full moon night of the month of Vaishakha, she became effulgent with a child within her womb. Soon the child was born, and he was given the name Srinivas. As he grew a little older, he was such a scholar. Just anything he would learn, he would memorize it and never forget it. Not only that, he had such a taste for hearing and chanting the glories of the Lord. He had no interest in material activities from his birth. And day and night, his father would tell him the stories of Lord Chaitanya and Lord Chaitanya's associates. And Srinivas grew up simply longing to meet Lord Chaitanya and longing to worship all of his devotees. He went to visit Sri Kanda. There he met Narahari Sarakar, one of the eternal associates of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Narahari told him, "You should go to Puri very soon, because I fear that Lord Chaitanya may leave this world." But at that time, Chaitanya Das, the father of Srinivas, left this world to go back to Godhead. So he had to stay back and take care of his grieving mother and perform all the necessary responsibilities of a son. Then, with the blessings of his good mother, he left for Puri. How he was traveling, such expectation that I'm going to see Gauranga Mahaprabhu. I'm going to see Swarup Damodar Goswami, Raghunath Das Goswami, all these great personalities I've been hearing about all my life and I'm worshipping as my life and soul. The wind was coming and he was just praying that he could just fly in the wind to Puri. He couldn't walk fast enough. When he was just in the outskirts of Puri, he saw some people coming from Sri Kshetra. And he was asking all of them, tell me, what's happening? Tell me the Leela of Mahaprabhu. How is the devotees? Please, tell me something. This group of devotees were very silent. They looked down. They could say nothing. On his insistence, they replied that Lord Gauranga, in the Tota Gopinath temple of Sri Gadadhar Pandit, disappeared from this world. He performed his closing pastime. Srinivasacharya immediately fell down to the ground, pained in the anxiety of separation. Separation is a type of ecstatic love, which is very difficult to understand by material conception. But in his love for the Lord, he was beating his head, he was pulling his hair out, he was scratching his chest with his nails, ripping his flesh, rolling on the ground, just crying out, "Oh Gauranga, why have I been born at such a time when I could not see you?" He decided that the next morning he would light a fire and enter the fire to end his life. But that night, Lord Chaitanya appeared to him in a spiritual vision. His beautiful golden form, with his eyes like lotus petals stretching to his ears, his hands going below his knees. He told Srinivas that, "You are my dear devotee." Srinivas offered his prostrated obeisances in the Lord. First he placed his feet on Srinivas' head, then he lifted him up and embraced him and soaked him with his own tears. And he said, "I have already instructed Gadadhar Pandit to teach you Srimad Bhagavatam. Go to him. Through him I will give you my mercy." When he entered into Jagannath Puri, he was met by some of the devotees who took him to Gadadhar Pandit's Tota Gopinath temple. There he saw Gadadhar sitting in a secluded place, weeping and crying in separation from Lord Chaitanya. The only reason he was sustaining his life was because the Lord wanted him to instruct Srinivas in the Srimad Bhagavat. He embraced Srinivas. And every day Srinivas would come to him and he would teach him Srimad Bhagavatam. But there was a problem. Every day Lord Chaitanya would come there to read Srimad Bhagavatam with Gadadhar. And every day they would weep and cry so much in ecstasy that the confluence of their tears washed away most of the ink of the Srimad Bhagavatam that he had. So he told him that you should go to Srikanda in Bengal to get another copy. But before going, he visited Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, Ramananda Rai, and many of the other associates of the Lord. When he was in Srikanda, he obtained a volume of Bhagavatam, but he began to lament, "Why did I leave Puri?" Narahari Sarakar told him, "You better return, because I feel any time Gadadhar Pandit is going to leave this world. How could he bear separation from Mahaprabhu?" So again, he was going fast and fast as he could back to Puri, on the outskirts of Puri. Some travelers came and told him, "Gadadhar Pandit has left this world." Again, he fell down with no reason to live. But Gadadhar Pandit appeared to him and told him, "You should go to Navadweep, and then you should go to Vrindavan. And there you will meet Rupa and Sanatan Goswami, and they will teach you Bhagavat." But that did not pacify him. Still he was thinking, "What is my misfortune? What is my life?" Then Gaur Gadadhar, both Lord Chaitanya and Gadadhar Pandit, appeared and put their feet on his head and told him, "Go to Vrindavan, but visit Navadweep first." So on his way to Navadweep, he was thinking, "I will see Nityananda Prabhu and Advaitacharya, and I will worship them. I have been hearing about them all my life. They are my life and souls." When he came to the outskirts of Navadweep, he heard from some passers-by that Nityananda Prabhu and Advaita had just left this world. At this time, he decided, "I cannot live. I will make a blazing fire and I will walk into that fire and end my life. I am too unfortunate." But Nityananda Prabhu and Advaita appeared to him. He fell at their feet and bathed their feet with his tears. Then he got up and they embraced and said, "You go to Navadweep and then you go to Vrindavan. That is where you must be. That is where the Lord wants you to be. Give up this idea of ending your life. You have a great mission to accomplish. You are to distribute the books of the Goswamis throughout the land." So Srinivas went to Navadweep. When he first arrived in Navadweep, he had a vision where Lord Chaitanya and all of his associates were having Harinam Sankirtan through the streets, and everyone in the city was madly dancing in ecstatic love, chanting the holy names. Then suddenly the vision ended and he saw Navadweep for what it was. Everyone was weeping, crying. It was practically like a ghost town because everyone was suffering the separation of Lord Chaitanya's departure from this world. He started to cry out, "Where is the home of my Lord Sri Gauranga?" And somebody brought him to the home where he met the servant of Vishnupriya, Bamsi Badana. And when he heard, "This is Srinivas," he became so excited, "You finally come." The night before, Vishnupriya, the consort of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, his wife, before he took sannyas, she had a vision where Lord Chaitanya appeared to her in this beautiful golden form and told her, "Tomorrow, my dear devotee Srinivas is going to come to see you. Bestow all your mercy upon him. He has a great mission to achieve." When he came before the worshipable consort of the Lord, he fell at her lotus feet, and she placed her feet upon his head. She gave him prasad that she cooked with her own hands. Vishnupriya was in such a state at that time of separation from the Lord, She had a deity of Lord Chaitanya. And she would chant the holy names day and night. She gave up sleeping. And she practically gave up eating. With every mantra she would chant, she would put a grain of rice aside. And then at the end of the day, whatever grains of rice were there, she would cook it, offer it to the deity, and then eat just a few of those grains, just to survive. She blessed Srinivas and told him that you should visit the other associates of the Lord, and then you should go to Vrindavan, and there Rupa and Sanatan will be waiting for you. So he left there, and a few of the places he visited on the way, he went to Kardaha. Kardaha is the place of Lord Nityananda Prabhu's wife, Janava, Vasudha, and his son, Virbhadra. At Kardaha, Janava Devi placed her feet on his head, and along with Lord Nityananda Prabhu's other intimate associates, they all wept and cried, thinking that, Srinivas, you have such an important mission, go to Vrindavan. But Janava Devi said, but before you go to Vrindavan, you should get the blessings of Abhiram Gopal in the village of Kanakula, Krishnanagar. He went to that village, and there he fell at the lotus feet of Abhiram Gopal. Abhiram Gopal's wife was named Malini, and they were very, very happy to meet him. He was very affectionate toward Srinivas. But he wanted to test Srinivas. What was the nature of his devotion? Srinivas had not eaten in days. Abhiram gave him the smallest possible type of money that there was at that time and said, use this money and prepare yourself prasad on the bank of the holy river. So he bought some vegetables and rice, and then he started to cook. And just when he was making the offering, Abhiram Gopal called a few of his associates and said, you go to the river and you ask him for prasad. Tell him that you are hungry. So they went to the river. Before they even asked any question, Srinivas immediately gave them all his prasad. Such a spirit of service. Didn't even consider his own existence. He just wanted to serve others. Serve Vaishnavas. So Abhiram, when he was told what had happened, he was so pleased that when Srinivas returned, he took his famous whip of the name Jai Mangala. This whip was very special. If he touched anyone with that whip, their hearts would overflow with ecstatic love for Krishna. Abhiram Thakur was a very transcendental person. If he offered obeisances to a deity that was not being properly worshipped and Krishna was not present, that deity or that Shila would just disintegrate into powder. And if he offered obeisances to any human being who had any material desires in their hearts, they would die. Hare Krishna. But this whip that he had, if he touched them, their hearts would awaken to pure love of God. Being pleased with the humility and the desire of Srinivas to serve Vaishnavas, he hit Srinivas with that whip once, twice. The first time he hit him, Srinivas just went into ecstasy. The second time, there was tears flowing from his eyes, his hairs were standing on end, his limbs were trembling. The third time, he was screaming out the holy names. Abhiram's wife said, stop, stop. Don't hit him again. He's just a young child. How much ecstasy can he possibly contain within his life? So Abhiram Thakur blessed him and told him, you go to Vrindavan. On the way to Vrindavan, he stopped at Ekachakra. There he was at the house of Nityananda Prabhu. And he was just in separation of lamentation that why have I never been able to see the beautiful form of Lord Nityananda? And Lord Nityananda Prabhu appeared before him. Hundreds, thousands of kilometers until he came to Mathura. He was so eager. I will take shelter of the lotus feet of Rupa Goswami and his elder brother Sanatan Goswami. At Vishramghat, he took his bath, and one Brahmin happened to appear there. And he asked, please tell me the way to find Rupa and Sanatan Goswami. The Brahmin said, oh, you have not heard. It grieves my heart to tell you that the whole of Vrindavan is drowning in an ocean of pain because Rupa and Sanatan Goswamis have recently left this world. He fell down. No more reason to live. But Rupa and Sanatan appeared to him, placed their feet on his head, embraced him, and said that you go to Vrindavan. You should take initiation from Gopal Bhatta Goswami, and you should study under Srila Jiva Goswami. And through them, you will always have our association. Simultaneously, Rupa and Sanatan appeared to Jiva Goswami and Gopal Bhatta Goswami and explained to them what their duties were to Srinivas. So he came to Vrindavan, and Jiva Goswami met him at the Govindaji temple and brought him to Radha Damodar temple and brought him to Gopal Bhatta Goswami. Gopal Bhatta Goswami initiated him in the chanting of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. And then, after accepting menial humble service from Srinivasacharya, he sent him to Jiva Goswami for his studies. He became classmates with Narottam Das Thakur and Shyamananda Goswami. They were the three most illustrious youths of Vrindavan. The whole of Brajabhumi loved these three great students of Jiva Goswami. They were so pure, so humble, so intensely attached to the process of bhakti. Srinivasacharya, when he was in Vrindavan, he was so deep into his sadhana that one time he was meditating on Krishna's lila, and Sri Sri Radha and Krishna appeared before him and placed a garland on his neck in his meditation. And then he came out of his meditation and the garland was on his neck. So he tried to hide it because he was afraid people will see that he's a very advanced devotee. But everyone saw the garland and all the Brijavasis knew exactly what happened. Along with Narottam Das Thakur and Shyamananda Prabhu, Raghava Pandit gave them an entire tour of Sri Vrindavan. But then his great mission was about to begin. After years of studying, he was asked on an auspicious day to take an ox cart with a crate containing all the manuscripts of the writings of Rupa Goswami, Sanatan Goswami, Jiva Goswami, Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, and other great acharyas. To take them into Bengal, to get them copied, and to distribute them amongst the Vaishnavas and the general population. So Jiva Goswami made all the arrangements. The devotees, they felt that without the blessings of all the Vaishnavas, we cannot be successful. So Srinivasacharya, Narottam Das Thakur, and Shyamananda Goswami were going from one devotee to the next to receive their blessings. They went to the Radha Gopinath temple of Madhu Pandit. He embraced them. He said, how will we live in Vrindavan without you? But you must go and distribute these books. It is the order of the Lord. They went to Lokanath Goswami, Bhugarabha Goswami. Then he went to Radha Kund and received the blessings of Raghunath Das Goswami and Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami. And after going to all of them and taking the dust of their feet and receiving their mercy, they came back to Vrindavan. And on a very auspicious day, all of these great Vaishnavas of Vrindavan came for a festival to inaugurate the beginning of their journey. They sent Brijabasi guards and Brijabasi oxen to go along with them. Jiva Goswami followed them all the way to Mathura. But then he bade them farewell and prayed at the lotus feet of Sri Gauranga Mahaprabhu that their journey will be safe and successful. And it was. They went through Uttar Pradesh. They went through parts of Madhya Pradesh. They went through Bihar. They came into Bengal, Godadesh. And everything was safe and no problem whatsoever. They approached a kingdom called Vana Vishnupuram. There was a king of the name Bhirambir. He was the master of many dacoits who would cruelly kill people and rob people just to bring wealth for his kingdom. He had a very good astrologer that would give him good ideas of where to perform their crimes. So this astrologer told him that there are three sadhus with a group of others. They have an ox cart, and there's crates on their ox cart. The most valuable jewels are in that crate. So Bhirambir told him that you must get that crate. But they're sadhus. Don't kill them, if at all possible, but get that crate. Two attempts they made, but they weren't able to do it. But then by the Lord's inconceivable arrangement, when they were just on the outskirts of the forest of the kingdom of Vana Vishnupuram, everyone fell fast asleep. See, it's not easy to rob people without hurting them. That's what they kept surrounding them, but they didn't have that opportunity. But now they were all asleep. So they picked up the crate and took it deep into the forest and back to the kingdom. When Srinivas and Narottam and Shamananda and the others woke up, they took their bats, they did their sadhana, they went to the cart to resume their journey. But they saw the books are gone. They're gone. All the writings of Rupa and Sanatan, the writings of Krishnadas Kaviraj, the writings of Jiva Goswami, they have been stolen. They are lost from the world, and it's our fault. They were in great, great, complex misery, anxiety. They were running here, there, looking. Where could they be? But they could find them nowhere. Understanding the reality that had come upon them, they were falling down, weeping and crying. At a certain point, looking, searching everywhere, but not finding them, they felt that they had committed such a sin by losing these books that they should all enter into fire and end their lives. Then a voice spoke to Srinivas, a divine voice that told him, do not end your life. The books have been taken. They will soon be returned to you. The king of Vana Vishnupuram, he has taken them. So Srinivas, hearing that, he understood his mission. So he sent Narottam Das and Shyamananda to their own places, Bengal and Orissa, so that they can propagate Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mission and induce people far and wide to accept the gift of love of God through the treasure of all treasures, the chanting of the holy names of God. Srinivasacharya came into the kingdom, and every day the king was having recitals from Srimad Bhagavatam with his pundits. Srinivasacharya listened, but he didn't like their speculative interpretations of the Bhagavat. Because except for the followers of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, practically everyone was speculating about real import of the Srimad Bhagavatam. The Bhagavatam specifically and exclusively deals with the subject of pure unalloyed love for Krishna. So he patiently listened. And at one time he asked some questions. And he did not accept their answers. So they said, oh, if you think you know better than us, then you recite the Srimad Bhagavatam. The king, as soon as he saw Srinivasacharya, so much love entered his heart. He asked him, you please, please teach us Srimad Bhagavatam. When he spoke, he completely melted the hearts of the king, the queen, and everyone else. And they all surrendered to him to become his disciples. The king fell at his feet, begging him, I have wasted my life. I am the most sinful. I'm a robber. I'm a thief. I'm a killer. I repent. I want to be your disciple and surrender at your lotus feet. Please, please instruct me. So he explained the divine teachings of Lord Chaitanya to the king. The king said, I want to offer you a gift. You are my guru. What is the dakshina I can give you? Srinivas said that I have lost this crate of books. He told him the story. The king says, I have the books. Srinivas was as excited as anything. You have the books. I have the books. Bring me to those books. When Srinivasacharya saw the crate, he opened it up, and there were the treasured jewels of the literatures of the Goswamis. King Birambir arranged the most beautiful paraphernalia of worship, and Srinivasacharya performed arti, bhog offerings, and all other activities of worship for the books. Then the king begged for initiation. He initiated him into the chanting of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra.
Hey!
When the queen saw the transformation in her husband, she wanted to also surrender to this great acharya. So she took initiation. And soon the entire kingdom took initiation. This is an interesting story. On many occasions we find that what apparently is a great crisis, inconceivable reversal in our life, if we just remain faithful and committed to the path of bhakti, then that crisis can be transformed into the most wonderful opportunity to serve the Lord. Here was the first Vaishnav kingdom, Bana Vishnupuram. And King Birambir, his whole goal of life was simply to print and distribute these books and to propagate the chanting of the holy names. So when reversals, problems, and difficulties come into our lives, welcome it. Take it as an opportunity. You cannot judge a book by looking at its cover. Don't try to evaluate things by its face value, because for a devotee, behind every situation is the will of the Lord. If we simply remain faithful, if we simply remain devoted to the path of bhakti, to the lotus feet of Guru and Gauranga, then the reversals that come upon us, the tragedies, the crises, will inconceivably be transformed into benedictions, into great, great facilities to purify our lives and to render glorious service unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Srila Prabhupada is another example of this. He had so many reversals. He tried to start his center in Jhansi. A year of hard labor, the League of Devotees was established. And one day, the proprietors of that building just closed him down and kicked him out. Most people at that age would just give up and just go to Vrindavan and be reclusive. But he just kept persevering. And what a benediction. If he started his League of Devotees in Jhansi, the wonderful Leela of the Jaladuta and going to New York City and living in the Bowery would never have taken place. Krishna apparently did something that stopped his mission. But behind the scenes, Krishna simply had a plan, an inconceivable, invisible plan to glorify Srila Prabhupada and glorify the mission of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu all over the world. So never give up hope. Never give up faith. In all circumstances, our success is that we remain faithful to the service of Guru and Gauranga. And if we just do that, we cannot be defeated. Impossible. Even if death itself comes, we go back home, back to Godhead. And in life, the spirit of devotion is the ultimate success that we want to achieve. Today we have three such wonderful souls who have imbibed this spirit of devotion. And I'm so grateful to them, especially for tolerating me. And we should aspire in our lives to follow in the footsteps of these great personalities. Because in following their footsteps, we will find Krishna. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki. Thank you very much.